We are very fortunate today. Our speaker is Her Grace Abhinanda Mataji. Mataji, welcome in the group, Mataji, in the call. Today we are reading Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 25 chapter 30 onwards. Mataji, please take over.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji. I feel extremely fortunate but totally unqualified to speak on such an exalted topic in front of all of you senior Vaishnavas. Please forgive my daring. I beg for your blessing so I can speak for the pleasure of Sri Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Gauranga and all of you exalted devotees. And in return, it purifies my existence. So I'll start with the prayer. नारायणं नमस्कृतं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयतु मुदीरय श्रवन्तं स्वकथा कृष्ण पुण्यश्रवणकीर्तन हृदयान्तास्ति अवधानि नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवते उत्तमा श्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नष्टके. Reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 25 text 30. भक्ति बिना मुक्ति नहीं भगवते कोय कली काले नाम भाषे सुखे मुक्ति हाय. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. In this age of Kali, one cannot attain liberation without taking to the devotional service of the Lord. In this age, even one chants the holy name of Krishna imperfectly, he still attains liberation very easily. So here we see Srila, the context here is we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enchanted the Mayavadis, which was headed by Prakashananda Saraswati, one of his disciple now of Prakashananda Saraswati. Prakashananda Saraswati is now glorifying Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his philosophy, being completely convinced by both. So I will read the translation once again. In this age of Kali, one cannot attain liberation without taking to the devotional service of the Lord. In this age, even if one chants the holy name of Krishna imperfectly, he still attains liberation very easily. So we see that Srila Prabhupada writes even chanting imperfectly, and so which is mentioned as Nama Bhash in the verse. Kali kale nama bhashe sukhe mukti hoy. One can easily attain liberation. Now let's see what nama bhash is actually. In his book Art of Chanting, Mahanidhi Swami defines nama bhash as that which appears like holy name but is not actually the holy name. This semblance of the name is the result of ignorance, mistake or confusion, where the name of God is uttered without devotion or clear understanding. But even such material chanting has immense spiritual value because it is connected directly to the spiritual sound. We all know the story of Ajamil, where he was saved from the hell just by uttering the holy name of Narayan, his favorite son. His chanting was Abhas, or semblance of the pure holy name. In Srimad Bhagavatam describes in 6.2.14, Sankityam parihasyam va stovam helanam evacha vaikuntha nama grahanam asheshaga haram vidhu. One who chants the holy name of the Lord is immediately freed from the reaction of ultimate sin, unlimited sins. Please forgive me. Even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly, for musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, this is accepted by all learned scholars of the scripture. So Ajamila chanting of Narayan is to attract his son. It's technically called Sanketyam, meaning assigned to something else. Nonetheless, the sound Narayan was a reflection of a pure divine name. So Ajamela was saved from the hell. Now, I was meditating upon when we chant our rounds, what could be Namabhas actually in real life? I mean, I was thinking for myself. So what could be considered imperfect chanting while we were doing our daily rounds? I was thinking for me, it could be the sloppy or the unclear utterance of the holy name. And when we say Hare Krishna, then we don't say the Hare Hare or Krishna Krishna and like that. We just skip few things and you just say it. Or sometimes the mind is wandering everywhere where it should be with the holy name, present with the holy name. Or having the material desire to be fulfilled, you know, Namabhas could be one of them while doing chanting, or it could be all of them together for a sadhaka, for a practicing devotee. Mahanidhi Swami, now he divides this this Namabhas into four sections or four kinds, like Sankirtyam, as we discussed, chanting to elude something else, like Ajamela. Also, the Muhammad, he sees a Muslim person, when he sees a pig, he exclaims haram haram, which constitutes actually two words, ha and ram, and by uttering haram it said that one can obtain deliverance from the cycle of birth and death as a result of Sankirtya Nama, exactly representing the words of Srila Prabhupada in today's verse. Even if one chants the holy name of Krishna imperfectly, he still attains liberation very easily. Next, he says, Mahanidhi Swami says that Namabhas could be parihasa, that is chanting jokingly. Scripture says that those who obtain Krishna's name, those who chant even jokingly, they obtain liberation. This includes those who desire liberation, those proud of their learning, Malechas devoid of tattva jnana, and demons opposed to the ultimate goal. Next, he says, Stova Namabhas, which is mockingly chanting, like seeing some bhakta, somebody might say, oh, you Hare Krishna, like that. And even that is Namabhas, and that has its own benefits, like getting liberation. Then comes the fourth one is Hela Namabhas, uttering disrespectfully. It says in Skanda Puran that taking the holy name neglectfully also results in liberation from material world. In Skanda Puran, Prabhasha Khanda, it says, Sakrat api parigitam shraddhaya helayava brighuvara naramatram tarayat Krishna nama. O best of Brighu dynasty, anyone who even once chants either with respect or disrespect, Hela, is immediately delivered from the ocean of birth and death. So far we have been hearing how unintentional, disrespectful, without devotion, without love, without surrender. Even with all this, if one chants, he gets liberation. The holy name still benedicts the benedicts the chanter, the liberation. But what if one chants intentionally with a mood of surrender to please the Lord? Then what happens? Krishna's holy name is full of mercy, compassion, love, rasa, and full of prema. It is the realest treasure in the world. This famous story in Vaishnav tradition, which is, I'm sure all of you know, I would just repeat, that illustrate the incomparable value of Krishna's holy name. Once a disciple asked his guru for the topmost secret of bhajana. Guru replied, the topmost confidential secret of bhajana is to always chant the Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. After leaving his guru's ashram, the disciple met some poor washerman who were chanting Hare Krishna while scrubbing clothes beside Yamuna River. He then heard some little girls chanting Hare Krishna while collecting cow dung. When the disciple hired a rickshaw, the skinny old driver chanted Hare Krishna all the way back to the ashram. Meeting his guru, the disciple expressed a doubt about the Maha Mantra. Gurudev, what kind of secret mantra have you given to me that is known to every dhobi, rickshawala, and the little girl in India? Is this really the most confidential secret of bhajan? Instead of long explanation, the guru handed the disciple a precious jewel and said, show this jewel to the dhobi, rickshawala, and the little girl, and see if they appreciate its value. The disciple then showed this priceless jewel to the illiterate washermen, but they could not detect the value of the jewel. They said they would have gladly accepted and used it for beating their dirty clothes. The disciple refused to give them the gem, saying that you have to pay proper price for the jewel. A stone or a piece of wood is sufficient to beat dirty clothes. Upon seeing the jewel, then Rikshawala said, since it's a little rough, I think it's just suitable for scraping off the dry skin of my feet. Are you crazy? Said the disciple as he walked on to show the village girls. Failing to recognize the true value of the jewel, the girls said, we could use the jewel to pack our cow dung. The disciple again met his guru this time, and he said, Gurudev, nobody wanted to pay the proper price for the jewel, nor could anyone appreciate the great value of the gem. Yes, said the Gurudev, in the same way, most people cannot appreciate the value of the holy name for this reason. They are indifferent to the chanting. And so because they cannot value the holy name, so they are indifferent to the chanting of Hare Krishna. The Hare Krishna Mahamantra is an open secret that is revealed only to the qualified. So the same way, the more we give ourselves to the holy name, the more it reveals itself to us. Krishna and Krishna's name are non-different. Bhinnatvan nama nama. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, ye yatha mam prapadyante tam sasizva bhajatam aham bhajami aham. As they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. However, without hearing from the Shastras and the saints, one can never understand the power, value and benefit of Shri Krishna's divine name, form, attribute, pastime and his holy abode. So let's hear what our acharyas and our scriptures say about the holy name. Rupa Goswami writes, I don't know how much nectar the two syllable Krishna have produced. When the holy name is chanted, it appears to dance within the mouth, where we then desire many mouths where with that name, and then enters the whole of the ears, we desire many millions of ears. And when the holy name dances in the courtyard of the heart, it conquers the activities of the mind and all the senses become inert. Sanatan Goswami writes in Brihad Bhagavat Amrita 1.1.9, all glories to the all blissful holy name of Shri Krishna, which causes the devotees to give up conventional religious duties, meditation and worship, when somehow or the other uttered even once by a living entity, the holy name awards him liberation. The holy name of Krishna is the highest nectar. It is my very life and my only treasure. Jiva Goswami writes in Bhakti Sandarva 270, chanting the holy name is the chief means of attaining love of Godhead. This chanting or devotional service does not depend on any paraphernalia, nor one's having taken birth in a good family. By humility and meekness, one attracts the attention of Krishna. That is the verdict of all the Vedas. Therefore, if one becomes very humble and meek, he can easily attain the lotus feet of Krishna in this age of Kali. That is the fulfillment of all great sacrifices, penances, austerities. Because when one achieves ecstatic love of Godhead, he attains the complete perfection of life. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. I will repeat that again, that last line. Therefore, whatever one does in executing devotional service must be accompanied by the chanting of the holy name of the Lord. Haridas Thakur says in Chaitanya Bhagavat Adi Khanda 1693 to the Muslim king, Khanda khanda hoy deho jaye jodi pran tobu ami bodone na chari hori naam. Even if my body is cut into millions of pieces and I give up my life, I will never give up chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In Kevalashtakam, Nilakanta Goswami sings, Madhuram madhure vyopi मङ्गलेभ्योऽपि मङ्गलम् पावनं पावनेभ्योऽपि हरेर्नामैव केवलम् आब्रह्मास्तम्भपर्यान्तम् सर्वं मायामयं जगत् सत्यं सत्यं पुनः सत्यं हरेर्नामैव केवलम् Translation, more sweet than all other sweet things, more auspicious than all other auspicious things, the greatest purifier of all purifying things. The holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. The entire universe, from exalted Brahma down to the lowly clump of grass, is a product of the illusionary energy of the Supreme Lord. The only thing is that is reality, reality, again I say reality, the holy name of Sri Hari alone is everything. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Antalila 4.71 says, Tara madhya sarvashrishta nama sankirtan, niraparadhe nama loile paya premadhan. Of the 9 processes of devotional service, the most important is to always chant the holy name of the Lord. If one does so, avoiding 10 kinds of offenses, one very easily obtains the most valuable love of Godhead. But we need to chant without the offenses to reach the ultimate goal of our life or Krishna prema, which is so hard. So the solution is given by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, who says the holy name, Chaitanya, holy names like Chaitanya and Nityananda will quickly remove Nama Aparad from faithful chanters. Chaitanya, Nityananda, Nahi Yashav Vichare, Nama Loite Prema Dhane, Vahe Ashrudhare. So it says that Nityananda, when you say Nityananda, when you say Chaitanya, they do not consider all these Aparadhas. Just take the name once, and they will give you the prema dhan, the Krishna prem, and then the ashru, the tears will flow from your eyes out of ecstasy when you take the name of Krishna. Translation, while reading, while reading on the Acharya's emotion towards the holy name, we are so fortunate that we got such a precious gift, which was so much relished and appreciated time and again by the exalted devotees in our scriptures, by the saints. But unfortunately, we hear time and again how glorious is this holy name of Sri Hari, Krishna, and yet it is a struggle to chant offenselessly and attentively. In one of the lectures, Amarendra Prabhu was saying, you know, we do not do the offenses during these 2 hours of our japa, but we do it in the rest of the 22 hours of our day. So it is very important for a sadhaka or a practicing devotee how we spend our entire day, not only just 2 hours, not only trying to control our 2 hours, trying to control our mind during the 2 hours. It has to be the entire day. We have to be very conscious how we spent our day and how we have to be very, very watchful where our mind is taking us, because those are the thoughts that will haunt us during our chanting. So before I move ahead with the next, I want to read a small portion from His Holiness Satsarup Das Goswami's book, My Dear Lord Krishna, a book of prayer. Chanting is very practical, and it's something I have a handle on. It's not something I don't understand. I have been chanting long enough to know what it's about. The cover of the present Back to Godhead magazine has a handle titled The Best Benediction, Why Krishna's Holy Names Are the Greatest Treasure. The benediction comes from you, means Krishna. The treasure is you, Krishna, but the serious practice is up to each of us. I will repeat that part, Mataji's. But the serious practice is up to each of us. That says that the mercy comes from Krishna, but we have to show our seriousness. So, Abhyase tu Kaunteya Vairagyana cha Ghraayate. So it's possible, chanting very beautifully is possible by suitable practice and by detachment, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita. We all know that how important the holy name is for our devotional life. In fact, the most important aspect. And yet, it's so hard to remain motivated and determined to chant with the great enthusiasm, being completely convinced that the holy name is our life and our soul. So what do we do? I was thinking, you know, like when an advertisement is shown, it creates a desire. And it creates such a strong desire. The person takes all the trouble to, he goes to the store, he spends all his hard-earned money and buys that product. And that product may or may not give result. Nobody knows. Even the person buying does not know. Even the person selling, they don't know. And the person producing, they don't know. But the desire is created. So similarly, if we keep hearing the glories of the holy name, then slowly but surely, we will come closer and closer to Shuddhanam. With that, I will move to the next shloka. Shreya Shrutim Bhakti Mudya Sebi Bho Kleshanti Ye Kevala Bodha Labdhaye Tesha Mashu Kleshala Eva Shishtaye Shishyate Nanyad Yatha Stula Tushava Khatinam. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you. Translation. The translation is by Srila Prabhupada and the purport is by his disciples. So I'll read the translation first. My dear Lord, devotional service unto you is the only auspicious path if one gives it up simply for speculative knowledge or the understanding that these living beings are spirit souls and the material world is false. He undergoes a great deal of trouble. He only gains troublesome and inauspicious activities. His actions are like beating a husk that is already devoid of rice. His labor becomes fruitless. So I'm reading the purport from Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.4. Loving service to the Supreme Person is natural, an eternal function of every living entity. If a person renounces his own constitutional function and instead laboriously seeks so-called enlightenment through impersonal speculative knowledge, his result is simply trouble and bother that comes from the following an artificial process. A fool may beat an empty husk not knowing that the grain has already been removed. Similarly, foolish is the person who throws his mind again and again into the pursuit of knowledge without surrendering to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For it is the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is the very substance and goal of knowledge. Just as grain is the substance and goal of the entire agricultural effort, Vedic knowledge or indeed material science without the personality of Godhead is exactly like an empty and useless husk of wheat. One may argue that by practicing yoga or cultivating impersonal knowledge, one can acquire prestige, wealth, mystic powers or even impersonal liberation, but these so-called gains are actually useless because they do not situate the living being in his constitutional position of loving service to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, such results being superfluous to the living being's essential nature are impermanent. As stated in the Narasimha Purana, Patreshu, Pushpeshu, Phaleshu, Toeshva, Akrita, Labheshu, Vaidava, Satsu, Bhaktiya, Sulabhaye, Purushe, Purane, Muktaya, Kim Artham, Kriyate, Prayatnaha. Since the primeval personality of Godhead is easily attained by offering him such things as leaves, flowers, fruits, and water, which are all found without difficulty, why does one need to endeavor for liberation separately? Although the process of devotional service to Lord Krishna is very simple, it is extremely difficult for seven conditioned souls to completely humble themselves before the Supreme Personality of Godhead and absorb themselves 24 hours a day in his loving service. The mood of loving service is anathema to belligerent, conditioned souls, determined to defy God and enjoy. When such stubborn, conditioned soul attempt to bypass austerity and yoga, they are turned back to the material platform by the powerful laws of God and violently merged into the heaving ocean of insignificance called the material world. Now here, if we see the background, that how Brahma stole the cows and the cowherd boys, and now after he realized after a year that, you know, it was all a mistake and things, now he is offering his prayer, Brahma is offering his prayer to Krishna, who is also known as Nandanandana. For his satisfaction, first he praised the beauty of the Lord, his transcendental limbs, and then he declared that his original identity of sweetness is even more difficult to comprehend than his opulence. Only by the devotional process of hearing and chanting transcendental sounds received from Vedic authorities can one realize the personality of Godhead. It's fruitless to try to realize God through processes outside the scope of Vedic authority. Now, I was listening to Srila Prabhupada's lecture on this particular verse, and I would like to, you know, speak about how Prabhupada explained. He says that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there, the disciple of Prakashananda Saraswati is quoting one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, in which it is said that simply for understanding, if you waste your time, but if you do not practice, if you do not practically apply yourself, then it's simply a waste of time. So then Prabhupada tells a nice story which he heard from his logic teacher. He says there was a lawyer and there was this student who wanted to learn. So he goes to the lawyer and he asks that, let's have a contract that you teach me, you know, everything. You make me a lawyer within a year and I will pay once I go to appear in the court and get my first check. So the lawyer asked a huge amount of money, which is $5 million. And the student, he agreed and he said definitely. And then with the lawyer, to get his money, he was very eager. So he taught him quickly the all the laws and he made him a lawyer. The student became a lawyer now. He's become a law. He can practice law. So then he says, now you can go to the court. But the student said, I don't want to go to the court. Then the teacher, the lawyer, he said, at least you pay my money. And he says that, how can I pay money? Because I'm not practicing. So there is no point of money, because when I practice, I pay. If I don't practice, I don't pay. So Srila Prabhupada is saying, what is the point of learning and doing all the hard work and knowing so many books, reading so many, and especially we know law books are such huge books and so much of effort he had taken. But what is the point when he is not going to practice? So similarly, if we simply know what is Brahman and what is not Brahman, but do not practice, it is just like that act only. So it is just a useless waste of time. And if you become a medical man, but if you don't practice it, as a medical man, then why should you take so much trouble? Similarly, those jnanis and the yogis, they don't take to the devotional service or Krishna consciousness, which is practical. So what is the point of their so much wasting their life after life? They are just knowing what is Brahman, what is not, who, what is truth, what is not. But they are not putting it into action. It's just taking knowledge and, you know, just letting be there. So Srila Prabhupada says, we are trying to be practically employed in Krishna service. That is our business. We may not be Hatha Yogi or Dhyana Yogi or this Yogi or that Yogi, or a very learned scholar, that we can distinguish and interpret that not what is not Krishna, what is Krishna and what is not Krishna, but to myself. In this way, I can waste my time. But if I do not apply myself to the purpose, then what's the use of all that? That's what Srila Prabhupada says on this verse. So here Brahma is presenting what is in the verse and in the purport and in the entire chapter. Brahma is actually putting a distinction between Bhakti Marg and Gyan Marg. In the verse he says Udasya. Here in this verse, which means giving up, the most auspicious path of Bhakti. Shreya Smritim Bhaktim Udasya Te Vibho. That's what he says in the prayer. And then he says, Tula Tusa Tusha Avaghatinam, just beating the wheat or rice husk, but only result is ending up with the pain in your hand because you have been beating for so long, so it will definitely cause pain in your hand. And then gaining nothing, because if you just go on, you know, beating a empty husk, it will just turn into powder. So you are left with what you had, with just some more trouble and pain in your life, and your time is also being wasted. So Lord Brahma is saying Gyan Marg is extremely difficult, because to even start the Gyan Marg, one has to be completely desire-free or detached. And if he once slips little bit, everything, it comes back to point one, is zero again. Whatever practice, it goes for waste. So one has to start all over again. And also it is very long process. Similarly, like yoga, even yoga, there's a little difference between yogas and this jnanis, that yoga, they aspire for the Paramatma. They search the inner soul and the inner happiness. Everything is inner, so it goes into the Paramatma ultimately. And then the jnanis, they aspire for the Brahman, Parabrahman, and the Brahman, they want to merge into the Brahman. This can be seen actually in the story of Vishwamitra and Menaka. So Vishwamitra was a king, and he was, I believe he was jealous of Vishwa, the sage called Vaishishta Muni, because he had a Suravi cow, which is wish-fulfilling cow, like a desire tree. And when Vishwamitra visited Vaishishta Muni's ashram, the sage served the king and his army with the help of the cow. The king demanded the cow. The sage said, you are bewildered. You are a king and not supposed to beg from a Brahmin. The king got very angry and he declared to fight with the sage. Then Vaishishta Muni's cow, by his order, manifested an army and destroyed the entire army of Vishwamitra. And so the Vishwamitra, seeing this, he got so upset and he realized, then what is the point of being such a huge, big king when a sage has so much of power and he destroyed me in like the snap of a finger? So he wanted to be the most powerful sage in the universe, to be the Brahma Rishi, and he started to meditate. Lord Brahma, seeing this, he said, okay, let me go to him. And he said, okay, I can make you Raj Rishi. Is that okay with you? Vishwamitra gave it a thought and he said, no, I wanted to be Brahma Rishi, because Raj Rishis are in a position in a lower than the Brahma Rishis. So Brahma Rishis are much higher and they can even disturb the demigods. So demigods were very scared, because, you know, he was getting so serious and so much into deeper into his meditation that it will eventually disturb the demigods. So they came up with this plan, and they Indra thought to send the most beautiful Apsara of the heaven to lose, to make his austerity, to so that, you know, Vishwamitra loses his austerity. So he sent Menaka, the most beautiful one, and just by hearing the tinkling sound of her ankle bell, his mind got disturbed and they united and they had a child. But later he regretted that he had to start all over. Now, this is not bhakti where you will be, start where you are left off. This is jnana. So this is yoga. So you have to start from wherever you were. You left, you have to start all over again. So he started all over again. But it happened a couple of times before he could become actually Brahma Rishi. So we see that the Gyan Marg is extremely difficult and full of troubles. And that is what Brahma is saying in the verse. We don't have it. And Srila Prabhupada, so many times we say, because the problem is here, we don't have any shelter in Gyan Yoga or Dhyan Yoga on your own. Prabhupada says that the Mayavadis believe that Brahma, they keep saying Brahma Shatta Jagat Mitha. Brahma Shatta Jagat Mitha means Brahman is the only truth and Jagat, this material world, is Mitha, is wrong. It does not exist. It's all illusion. Then Prabhupada says, if you think it is so illusion and it's such an illusion and it is Mitha, it does not exist, it's not true, why do you have to come back time and again? And then you come back. Prabhupada says that because they don't have a point to go, if they reach Brahma, that is one story, they get liberation and they stay there for certain amount of time and then again fall back to the material world, that's a different story. But Prabhupada says that suppose they go and they would have done something where they cannot reach the ultimate goal of theirs, the Mayavadi goal, they cannot reach that goal, they will be hanging in the, because they don't have any shelter to hold. Like us, we have the lotus feet of Krishna. They don't have any shelter. So what do? They fall, they also fall back. They fall back quicker, back to the material world, and then they start doing all the charitable work, like hospitals and all the charity things. So Prabhupada is saying, if Jagat is mitha, why do you have to come back again? Don't come back. So so we see, even if one is successful in Gyan or in Dhyan, then they also, the topmost reward is impersonal liberation. The best they can get is, you know, the best they can get is impersonal Brahman, Prabhupada. So, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada quotes Sri Prabodhananda Saraswati, says, Kevalyam naraket. Indeed, for the bhaktas, Kevalyam is the impersonal liberation, is like the hell, narakayate. Not only it is not desirable for them, but it's terrible. This is because there is no reciprocation, there is no love, there is no emotion. So for bhakta, he does not want it. How much, you know, lucrative the impersonal liberation may look, but a bhakta does not want, a devotee does not look for that. Therefore, Brahma said, give it up, don't endeavor for that. Take up bhakti, hear from Shuddha bhaktas, hear Krishna katha. If we compare bhakti, it guarantees success. If we compare bhakti with the dhyana path or the yoga path, bhakti in the beginning itself, you will see success. To start with, we get feel so blissful. It guarantees success even when a small amount of bhakti is rendered to the Supreme. And bhakti never goes for a waste. It does not go back to, if you make a mistake, you do not go back to zero and start over. Even if this life you cannot complete it, you come back and you start from where we ended, rather than, you know, like, not like our material degrees, where we if you are a doctor in this life, does not mean that you will become a better doctor, or you will start with, okay, previous life I was a doctor and next life I will be a higher, you know, designation. No, you have to do again preschool, kindergarten, and everything you have to do, and you become a doctor again. Again you die, and if you have still that desire to become a doctor, by the time, if you have not become a devotee, you have to do everything time and again and again. Same like this also, like the Mayavadi philosophy, they also go back to zero if you do any mistake. But in our bhakti, we see that, you know, in our bhakti, we see that how wherever you stop, you begin from there. So it does not go for a waste, it does not go for go to zero. You can start from where you were left. So in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Neha Vikrama Shosti Pratyavayo Na Vidyate Svalpam Api Asya Dharmasya Trayate Mahato Bhayat. In this endeavor, there is no loss or diminution, and a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. So bhakti, once started, it never goes back to zero. It starts from wherever it was left off, unlike Gyan Marg. Also, the qualification for bhakti, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 9.30, even if one commits the most abominable action, he is the most degraded one, he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. Again, unlike Gyan Marg, where, you know, we have to be completely austere even to start. But here, even if you're the most degraded person, but if you have bhakti, you are, Krishna says, you are rightly situated. So Brahma uses the word here, kaleshah, which means botheration, the trouble. So that's what he is saying in today's verse. Whereas Rupa Goswami, he mentioned bhakti is as kaleshagni, which means when all the distresses are removed, when the troubles are not there. That's what Rupa Goswami defines. So Brahma says that, you know, without bhakti, when bhakti is not there, it is kaleshah. And Rupa Goswami says, when the bhakti is there, it is kleshagni. So kleshah, kleshagni. In Srimad Bhagavatam 11.11.23 explains, to start bhakti marg, the only requirement one must have is some faith, and then slowly one progresses. As one progresses in the path, he glorifies Krishna through different devotional services, hearing Krishna Katha, chanting his holy name, and making Krishna, and that will, and slowly making Krishna the center of their lives. So Rupa Goswami says in Nectar of Devotion, somehow or the other, jene tene prakarone, somehow or the other, just remember Krishna. So we see bhakti is a very joyful experience as compared to Jnana Yoga. So Brahmaji says, give up. So Brahmaji says, giving up bhakti is just like calling out for unnecessary trouble. So in the today morning class also, Bhagavatam class by His Grace Baladev Prabhu, gave such a profound and detailed explanation of Mayavad philosophy and devotional service. So we just need to feel, all we need to feel the joy of bhakti and just share it with others how Mahaprabhu and our previous acharyas did. And Srila Prabhupada, by his causeless mercy, has made this bhakti or Krishna consciousness so accessible for everyone, keeping it authentic and blissful at the same time. He had made this bhakti path very much walkable for each of us by incorporating all the processes of devotional services recommended in the scriptures in a beautiful system that one who takes Srila Prabhupada's shelter sincerely, I repeat sincerely, cannot help but make Krishna as the center of their life. So with this, I would like to end here, Matajis. And again, I beg for your forgiveness for whatever mistake I have committed. I'm sure I have committed many. So please forgive me and please go ahead and correct me so we all can benefit. Thank you. Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Nama, Krishna, thank you so much, Mataji. Lot of information you have given in this lecture, and it's very, very helpful, Mataji. Thank you so much for your hard working, Mataji. Any, you would have any question or comment for Mataji?
Hare Krishna Avinanda Mataji, that was a very, 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 very beautiful class. You have really put in so much effort, Mataji. The work that you have given is so amazing. The way you covered the first verse and spoke about Namabhas, and then gave beautiful stories and analogies to talk about it, and the second verse as well, talking about bhakti being a more superior process than jnana and other paths, and how bhakti is always a very forgiving process. Such a beautiful class, Mataji. Thank you so much for your wonderful, wonderful class. All glories to your services. Very, very beautiful, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. It was without your help, it was not possible, Mataji.
So, no, Mataji. I didn't even do an ounce of help, actually. So I just see how nicely you have come up with the class. Very nice. Very beautiful.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Abhinanda Mataji. Very, very, very beautiful and wonderful class. Very nicely you have explained everything. And also the bhakti process in the topmost and easiest one. Thank you very, very much. Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Thank you, Kumudu, Mataji. Please give your blessings, Mataji. We all need it.
Yes. You all have the blessings, but if I have any, yes, everybody can have.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji. Very, very wonderful. Please give more and more classes. Very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class, Mataji. And as everybody is definitely glorifying your hard work, your efforts, you quoted so many, you know, quotations from different scriptures and glorified even the Namabhas days of chanting. So that was really wonderful. And thank you for all your efforts, and you really set up the stage for tomorrow's class, because it's all related to that, how chanting and devotional service, which is affiliated by chanting, which goes hand in hand. So thank you so much, Mataji, for all your beautiful, beautiful class. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Krishna Sundari Mataji. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Such a beautiful class. You took, I think, the whole
was to a different level by so much of nice research and so nice points you quoted, Mataji, and the underlying principle that how bhakti is, always permanent, and though the other processes may not yield results in afterlife, in our next births, but how bhakti's results are always permanent. So please give your association more often, Mataji. Thanks so much, Mata. And if you don't mind me asking, I'd like to know what were your references for the class, Mataji?
Yes, Mataji, there's a lot of references. Is there anything particular you want to, Mataji? Priti Bilansani Mataji sent me a lot of things, and then I searched something on Google, and I have and the Mahanidhi Swami's book, it's called Art of Chanting. It's a beautiful book. It's a little big book, but it has a lot of nice things about chanting. So that is also, especially the Namabhas part of it.
It was just amazing. The whole ensemble, Mataji, like the whole class, the various points you touched, everything was equally good, Mataji. I can really understand the kind of effort you've taken to present this, and it's just so amazing. Thank you so much, Mataji.
I'm just like a tape recorder, Mataji, just repeating whatever I have just collected. I have nothing in it, Mataji. I'm just like a tape recorder. So thank you anyway for appreciating. Thank you, Mataji.
Yeah, but you have gleaned the actual content, so that is very helpful for people like me who don't even listen, and at least you're being a parrot. So that's so amazing, Mataji.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Hare Krishna, Abhinanda Mataji. Very, very beautiful class. Thank you so much, as everybody is saying, so beautiful. And your singing is also so nice, Mataji. You sing so well, and very nice points, and very, very detailed class, Mataji. Thank you so much for the beautiful stories, and thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Vineta Mataji, thank you. I forgot my prayer, though. But I'm just seeking forgiveness for that. But I forgot to say my prayers. But anyway, thank you for the appreciative words, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Avinandana, Mataji. Thank you so much for the beautiful class and very apt examples, Mataji. It gives so much inspiration listening to your class, Mataji. Thanks for all your hard efforts and giving us all this wonderful extracts from all the beautiful scriptures and the books, Mataji. Thank you so much, Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for your appreciative words. Thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Very, very beautiful class, as everyone has said. So many research points, and so nicely you linked various points from different places. It was such a very beautiful orchestra, I would say. Thank you so much for your wonderful association.
Thank you for your beautiful words, Mataji. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Avinanda Mataji, Dandavat Pranam. Oh, beautiful, beautiful class, Mataji. So nicely you have explained on both the verses, on how to chant, what is the best way, and you give so many references, so many nice examples also. Very beautiful story. Mataji, did you have a name to the person who you were talking about, the guru and the disciple story, right? Was there a name for both of them, or
guru and the disciple? No, Mataji. I was referring it from Mahanidhi Swami's book itself, and I have heard it, and I always heard it as guru and disciple only, Mataji. And it's a Vaishnava story, Mahanidhi Swami. But I have heard it on our morning classes also. But every time, if I recollect it correctly, I have always heard it as guru disciple only, Mataji. So sorry about that.
No,
if I get
no,
to hear it,
I will. Yeah. It was such an amazing class, Mataji. So much research and so well spoken also. Thank you so much. And Kevalashtakam singing was so beautiful. So beautiful, Mataji. Thank you so much. Please
thank
give
you
us your association again. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't know if you heard me. Yes, thank you so much for the class today. All the nice stories.
Just one question. I just wanted to confirm that I understood you properly when you were talking about the Mayavadis. And I think you said something like, you know, that maybe it was Prabhupada who was saying, you know, if the Mayavadis think that this world is false, then why do they come back here?
Yes, Mother. Yes, you got it. Prabhupada says it many times in the Prabhupada Bani lecture that we hear. Many times he said it. I mean, more than five times, if I can recollect. I mean, different lectures, he keeps saying that Prabhupada says that. If Jagat is such a mitha, why do you come back? Why do you come? And he always say with the same mood, little angry, little upset. He always say with that, why do you come back?
He says, yeah, I wonder what their answer would be, or if they even believe themselves that they come back, you know? Because if they do come back, you know, it would be interesting to hear how they would explain coming back to a place that they don't believe even exists, you know? So I'm wondering if they actually even believe themselves that they come back. Because if they do, how would they, you know, explain that, I wonder, you know?
Yeah, but one thing, I mean, it is no, I'm not sure if it solves your doubt. I mean, of course, since, like, but then Srila Prabhupada also say one thing that Mayavad philosophy, like in the morning, today's class also Prabhupada say, it is very dry, it does not have variety, and Prabhupada says variety is the mother, and then let's say without the, even in our food, we can have so many kind of, like with just milk and wheat, we can make so many varieties, and the prasadam become so delicious. So bhakti is also like, you know, we're doing different devotional services, the different aspect, the deity worship, and then chanting, then street sankirtan, book distribution, so many aspects. By that, the bhakti Krishna consciousness become very, very joyful and interesting. That's what Srila Prabhupada specially did it for us, like putting everything into one pot, and just we, for all we have to do is just take it from that pot. So Prabhupada says that, but Mayavad's philosophy is very, very dry, and you know, and they do not enjoy it. So once they get, sometimes you, I don't know whether after death or next birth or when, but when they get tired of Mayavad, they, if they don't get the right path, like if they don't get into the Krishna consciousness, they try to get into other areas, and then they try to exploit other areas. Like they, like they seek for power, they seek for beauty, they seek for the material desires, basically. That's what Prabhupada says, but I don't know if it is totally aligned with your doubt.
Yeah, I was just... yeah, I understood your point. Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, what their conception is about coming back.
For what, you know? I understood from the second verse, Mataji, or whatever I heard, it's like, you know, it's for them, even if the impersonal liberation is their best they can have, right? And if for them it is all or none, I mean, you get 100% marks or you become zero. There is no in-between stage for them. It is not like bhakti. Like you have to be 100%. So you have to be the ultimate one. So you have to get 100% to get that Mayavad. Otherwise, Prabhupada gives this example of Sputnik, and he will say, no, the Sputnik goes into the air and it roams there, goes around and around. If it does not have a point to land, it has to eventually fall back. So that's what he gives. Like if you are at 99.99% also, and if you don't reach that 100%, you still come back. So you come back earlier than impersonal liberation, but you come back. So I don't know. I'm just telling what Srila Prabhupada talks about this.
Yeah.
And if you get something out of it, Mataji.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, thank you so much,
Mataji.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Mataji, can I add to that question of Gaurangi Mataji?
Yes, please, Mataji.
Such a beautiful question, Mataji. Your questions are so deep and well thought over. I was just also thinking about the same point when I heard the, you know, Prabhupada's statement, and my understanding was that, you know, Srila Prabhupada says when the Mayavadis go to the Brahman effulgence, they are there for some time, but then there is no ananda or bliss there. So again, they fall down to the material world, you know, because they just don't know what else to do after they reach there, after some time. So I was thinking maybe Prabhupada is alluding to that, Mataji.
Mataji. So that's what he says. The philosophy, their philosophy is very dry. So today morning also Balde Prabhu was saying that like one of the other Sampradaya follower, when he came and he stayed with Ishkan for 3 days, he before leaving he said that, you know, I see why you are doing all this, and he believed that it was much better than his philosophy. So so bhakti is much more joyful and happiness, and everybody wants to be happy. I'm sure the Mayavadis also, they don't want to be like, if you can, you know, eat the cake and have the cake, that's the best situation. But maybe they don't know, most of the people, as Prabhu said in the morning as well, if you don't know that there is an option that you can eat the cake and have the cake, they will opt either for Gyan or Dhyan, not for Bhakti.
You know, what I was wondering is, you know, all that we've been saying just now is what we as devotees say, what happens to the Mayavadis if they don't complete their mission, you know. But if I were speaking to a Mayavadi right now, what I would ask them is this. If you all do not complete your mission, if you're not successful in attaining liberation, you know, what do you say will happen to you? You know, I would ask them that question. What do you think will be the result? You know, because then if they say, well, they will come back here, then you can say to them, well, come back here. How come back here when this place doesn't even exist? So I'm just curious what their conception is of what will be the end result if they don't succeed.
My travel to India, I met one girl. They were following Mayavad philosophy, and they are called Brahma Kumaris. I didn't know they are Mayavadis until Prabhupada said so many times Mayavad, Mayavad, Mayavad in the book. I didn't, means coming from India, I never realized there is a philosophy called Bhakti. We all know in India, of course, we believe in deity worship and all, but we didn't know, at least I didn't know there is anything called Mayavadi or Mayavad. And then she, I didn't know she, I knew all that Mataji, it is very difficult. I don't know, for me, for a seasoned devotee like you might be will be different, but for me it was so difficult. She told my mother said she does not eat onion, garlic, no tea, no coffee, so there's, our diet is similar. So I was very impressed, and I was trying to talk her into Krishna consciousness. You know, we are like the agents, the salesperson, you know, any person you see little interested or little sober, you try to attack them and bring them to Krishna consciousness. I was trying, then my mom stopped me. She said, no, she is already following Brahma Kumari. And then I didn't know what is their funda. Like everybody is different. People like to know about others' philosophy. For me, I feel if I have the good thing, you know, let the rest of the world be. So, she just started saying that, you know, if God, she said something, I don't remember the exact conversation, but she said like, if God is so powerful and ultimate, he is light and all, how can he take birth? And then I realized she was talking about Krishna's birth in Vrindavan, and it hit me so hard, Mataji, and that was like, I was even more newer than now I am, and So I felt so sorry. I mean, I was really hurt. I did not speak to her after that much. I gave her prasadam and all, but I was very hurt. And even if they appreciate, honestly, the Mayavadis will appreciate us, but it is very hard for a devotee to appreciate Mayavadis. And we see in the today's morning, Prabhupada was not giving up his Vyasasana, and it was like painful for him to hear. And for a new bhakti like me, if it is so painful to hear that Krishna, God can never take birth, how difficult it will be for a pure, pure devotee like Srila Prabhupada, and that's the reason he started that kirtan, because he could not hear the blaspheme of Krishna. It was a blaspheme saying that Krishna does not exist. And, you know, and he was saying some in front of you, somebody says, okay, Gaurangi Mataji does not exist right in front of your face, it will be so hurtful. It will be so hurtful for us. So Srila Prabhupada was taking it so personal, and that's what I understand. Talking to Mayavadis is not easy, Mataji. I mean, if you, as a little tiny devotee like me, if you can understand, if I could feel that much of emotion, I didn't want to talk to her any more about anything in the world. I just gave her prasadam and I got out of the room. And she, you know, she told my mom that, you know, it is such a fortune to have, you know, your children to go into bhakti and all. I could not appreciate her. So I would say, Mataji, it was hard for me. I will never go to a Mayavadi and ask your philosophy, because Prabhupada says that their philosophy can break our bhakti if we are not totally fixed. So I will stay away, Mataji. But yes, you are a very, very sincere and seasoned devotee. So,
well, I'm not seasoned. But, you know, when you were speaking just now, I thought of an experience that I had one time that makes me, how should I say, it makes me actually feel a little sorry for Krishna, you know, because when you were saying that Mataji was, you know, basically saying that Krishna doesn't exist, or, you know, Mayavadi, they're basically saying that Krishna doesn't exist.
Yeah, no personal.
So when you were saying like that, it reminded me of an experience where, even though I was, you know, I was in a doctor's office, just my mother-in-law, the doctor, and myself, and it was a very cutting experience because I was treated as if to say I wasn't even in the room, you know? I was, like, completely ignored, you know? And so, like you know, like I didn't exist, you know? And it's, you know, it was such a cutting experience. And so, you know, they say that worse than having somebody upset with you is having a person ignore you, you know, like you don't exist.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like some children too. They'd rather their parent discipline them than you know, just treat them like they're worthless or
yeah.
You know, don't pay attention to them. Yeah. That's where. So I'm feeling like this is how Mayavadis are treating Krishna. You know.
Yeah, that's it. Feels so bad. So, you know, if you already, as a like normal human being, when we know if we go there, we will get hurt. So we will avoid that place, right? So I personally would not go and ask Mayavadi, how do you feel and why do you come back?
But, you know, I'm just saying that, you know, despite the treatment that Mayavadis give Krishna, you know, he still loves them just as dearly as, you know, everybody else, you know.
As I mentioned, Mataji and Prabhu also mentioned, that's because they don't know the love of Krishna. That's why they are running after something so dry. So one, you know that, you know, when you have no food, any food will be good. But if you have a good food, then you will go for good food. But if you don't know there is a good food, you will grab whatever you have.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna. Mataji, if nobody has any questions, so can I sing a Vaishnav song, if you don't mind, if you give the permission?
Yeah. We are all waiting for it, Mataji. What is that remind? Go ahead.
I thought Brindiga Gopika Mataji will ask, but she's not here, so I'm being a little shameless. I'm saying by myself, Mataji. So, okay. So this is a song from Bhaktivinod Thakur's Sharanagati. Amar jivan sada pape rato nahi ko punne role parer udveg
দিয়াছি যে কত দিয়াছি জীবের ক্লেশ নিজ সুখ লাগি পাপে নাহি ডোরি দয়াহীন স্বার্থ পর সুখে দুঃখী সদা মিথ্যা ভাসী পর দুঃখে সুখ ক অশেষ কামনা হৃদি মাঝে মোরা ক্রোধাদম্ভ পরায় মদ মচ্ছা সদা বিষয়ে মোহিতা হিমসাগর বিভূষণ নিদ্রালা সাহতা সুকারে বিরতা আকারে উদ্যোগী আমি প্রতিষ্ঠা লাগিয়া সাক্ষাচরণ লবাহত সদা কামি এহেন দুর্জন সজন বর্জিত অপরাধী নিরন্তর শুভ কার্য শূন্য সদানার্থমান নানা দুঃখে জরা বার্ধক্যে এখন উপায় বিহীনা তাতে দিনা কিঞ্চ ভক্তি বিনোদা প্রভুর চরণে করে দুঃখ নিবেদন আমার জীবন সদা পাপে রত নাহি কো পুণ্যের লেশ নাহি কো পুণ্যের লেশ নাহি কো পুণ্যের লেশ
হরি 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 বোম হাই মাতাজি ভেরি ভেরি ওয়ান্ডারফুল নেক্টার
হরি বল বিউটিফুল
আন্ড রিকোয়েস্ট মাতাজি প্লিজ রিড দ্য ট্রান্সলেশন
আউট ইয়েস ডেফিনেটলি মাতাজি আই ওয়াজ জাস্ট ওয়ারিং অ্যাবাউট দ্য টাইম ডেফিনেটলি দ্য ট্রান্সলেশন আই অ্যাম অ্যান ইম্পায়াস সিনার অ্যান্ড হ্যাভ কস্ট আদার্স গ্রেট অ্যাংজাইটি অ্যান্ড ট্রাবল I have never hesitated to perform sinful act for my own enjoyment, devoid of all compassion, concerned only with my own selfish interests. I am remorseful seeing others happy, and I am perpetual liar. And the misery of others is a source of great pleasure for me. The material desires within the core of my heart are unlimited. I am a wrathful, devoted to false pride and ignorance, intoxicated by vanity and bewildered by worldly affairs. Envy and egotism are the ornaments I wear. Ruined by laziness and sleep, I resist all pious deeds. Yet I am very active and enthusiastic to perform wicked acts. For worldly fame and reputation, I engage in the practice of deceitfulness. Thus, I am destroyed by my own greed and I am always lustful. A vile, wicked man such as this rejected godly people and is constant offender. I am such a person, devoid of all good works, forever inclined towards evil, worn out and wasted by various miseries. Now, in the old age, deprived of all the means of success, humbled and poor, this humble soul, his tale of grief, at the feet of the Supreme Lord. It is Bhakti Vinod. I didn't feel like saying Bhakti Vinod. How can I say for Bhakti Vinod Thakur all these things? So it is me, Mata. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Thanks for the meaning, Mataji. Very, very applicable.
Thank you, Mata. Thank you for giving the opportunity. I don't deserve, but yet you've been very, very kind, Mataji, and giving me the opportunity. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Avinanda Mataji, can I ask you?
Yes,
Mataji. I know it's personal, but can I ask you?
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Because your pronunciation of Bengali
is
very
Mataji,
nice.
Yes, Mataji, I am, Mataji.
You are from Bengal, okay.
yes, Mataji.
It's very wonderful. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Please come again and sing more bhajans and more classes. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji.
Mataji, your Bengali pronunciation is so sweet. It, you know, it actually sounds so much sweeter when the Bengalis sing it because it's their vernacular. So it's just so sweet to listen, Mataji. So beautiful. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. This song is very dear, Mataji. It says so much about me. First time I heard it and I thought, oh, that's me. And because, of course, I didn't need the translation, just the Bengali itself, I could feel that I heard Bhakti Charu Swami singing it. And it was so beautiful, Maharaj singing this song. And I felt it was just for applicable to me. Yes, Mataji, thank you.
That's how I also felt when I first time really. Hare Krishna. And it is true for me.
This was Bhaktivinoda Thakur's song.
Yes, yes. It's from Sharanagati.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's just inconceivable how... I mean, I know the answer is humility, but it's just inconceivable how he could think like this about himself.
Yes, कृष्ण अभिनंदन माता जी धन्यवाद प्रणाम चले प्रभुपाद चले प्रभु कीजिए माता जी वंडरफुल हाउ सिंसियरली यू रेटिंग टुडेस क्लास वी मीट इन सीसी राधा मदन मोहन टेंपल व्हेन यू कम वेरी यंग एज यू गेट द ब्लेसिंग ऑफ चले प्रभुपाद चले प्रभु कीजिए हरे कृष्ण थैंक यू माता जी थैंक यू हरे कृष्ण एंड द सॉन्ग वाज फॉर यू माता जी
Mataji, it's for me also. Thank you.
Of course, Mataji, but Vrinda Gopika Mataji always requests for Vaishnava songs. I thought I would prepare one.
Now we have a tradition, Mataji. Everybody has to sing. Thank you, Mataji. Is there any question comment for Mataji from the devotees? Thank you, everyone. Mataji, please come again and sing nice Bengali version and sing your essence. Mataji and give. It's very nice class, Mataji. Very profound.
And also beg your forgiveness for whatever mistake I have committed. Please, all of you, please forgive me.
Thank you,